In this episode, I'm joined by the lovely Tracy Montgomery, and we're going to be sharing her story of how she had to realise that she had so much more strength than she realised. And now we want to let you know too. Hi, I'm Nikki Collinson-Phoenix, business owner, serial goal-getter, adventure seeker, chaser of dreams, humanitarian, and believer that anything is possible. In this podcast, I will bring you conversations around transforming your business and life through strategy, mindset, kindness, compassion, freedom, happiness, and contribution for myself and for many others who have walked their own path of transformation and discovery. Because life is short and life is precious. And in the time you have on this earth, I want to give you the tools so that you too can believe anything is possible and for you to achieve your own version of success and happiness, both in your work and your life. So are you ready to shine, transform, and live your best life? Then welcome to the Chrysalis Conversations. Okay, hey everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Chrysalis Conversations. I'm absolutely thrilled to have today's guest with me for our conversation, which is the lovely Tracy Montgomery, all the way from Wales. Hey Tracy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you, Nikki. Glad to meet you.
Yeah, and thank you very much for coming to share your story. Now, Tracy has a really, really inspiring and great story to share with you all today, but her actual focus that she is like guru of is everything to do with menopause and midlife. And I'm sure as we go through today's conversation, we're going to be touching a little bit on that. But Tracy, what I'd really like to, you know, the Chrysalis Conversations is all about those journeys in life where, you know, life does deliver sometimes an occasional shitstorm, and it's kind of how you deal with that, whether you choose to take the lemons and make them into lemonade, and those certain periods within your story and your journey and your life where you've had to make some important decisions or make some different choices or whatever within your life to actually turn it on a slightly different trajectory to actually take something positive out of stuff that can be seen as quite negative perhaps. So what I'd love you to do, Tracy, if it's okay, is can you share with our listeners today kind of your story, because it is really inspiring and it's going to really help some of the people listening to this today.
Yes, definitely. So there hasn't been one particular moment. There have been quite a few steps to getting to where I am now. So my background, originally I started as a horse riding instructor, but I sort of
pivoted.
Yes, I've got a degree in equine science, but I pivoted and used that to take a PGCE and somehow ended up as a chemistry teacher.
You know that actually I didn't know about the horse background. You know my background as I'm an equine chiropractor. My background is horses too. So look at that, small world, huh?
Small world, yes. It does happen, yes. And it's a small world, but it's a big world once you're in it, because everybody seems to know everybody and you meet so many people through
so
it.
So many.
And you can, like I've done, I dipped out for quite a while. I became a chemistry teacher, which again was a bit bizarre.
It's totally random from studying equine science to then being a chemistry teacher.
Yeah, a little bit. What had happened was I thought I was getting a little bit old to work outside. So I thought, I was only in my early 30s when I did my PGCE. And I thought, I'll just go and do something that allows me to keep teaching. And took my PGCE in secondary science, did an interview in biology and turned up for my first day. And they said, could you become a chemistry teacher? So straight away, I'm like, okay. So straight away, I'm, yes, okay. So you do a little bit of chemistry, but I've been on the biology route. So straight away, I had to learn a new skill set. And I loved it. I loved teaching chemistry because it's quite a physical science. You get to blow things up, which is great fun. And I did have the noisiest, smelliest lab in the school. But I'd been teaching for about 10 years and then I got ill. I was diagnosed with a condition I had no idea I had. It took ages to diagnose me, didn't realise I had this weird condition, and I wasn't allowed to drive for 18 months. So I couldn't physically get to the school that I needed to get to work because it was 40 miles away. So I pivoted to working online. That was in 2012. So I've been online doing various things since 2012. I did start originally.
You've got to tell me what the various things are. You've got to tell us what all the various things are, because it's always really inspiring for people to see
where,
the pivot of opportunities.
Yeah. So originally when I started working online, it was teaching. I went to an online school and it was quite a diverse school because we had homeschool children that were from all over the world. So I was teaching on, we stuck to UK times, but some of the students were on their times. We had Europe, a lot of African countries, because the African countries are very similar timelines to ours. So it
what
didn't
was the name of that school?
It was called Academus, but it evolved to a different model now. So I taught there until 2018. And then I sort of stayed online, as you do. And since then, I have dabbled, as most do, with MLM companies. I've dabbled a little bit with Bitcoin. So I do have some trading things still going on in the background, but they are very much in the background. I just leave them to it. And then again, because I've taught and teaching, pivoted again to the coaching model, which is where I'm sat at the moment, is coaching. So I have, because my menopause journey was one of those journeys that menopause is something that you go through and it's something that you don't talk about and it's something you'll come out the other side of.
Kind of where you are, that's kind of what you're up to now. And I'm sorry that I interrupted you, because you were kind of in flow of talking about, you know, you decided to step away from the face-to-face stuff and go online. And then what happened then?
With the schoolwork.
Yeah, and you were just sort of saying about that, then you decided that, you know, you weren't able to work, you weren't able to do the driving. What happened?
Because I wasn't able to actually physically get to a school. It was either move to a school that I could walk to, because I wasn't allowed to drive for so long, or look into a different avenue. And the obvious avenue is to look online. I had issues with working online. I mean, I went to university as a mature student. So I went to university expecting to write everything down, as you do, because that's what I did at school. But I got to university and it's all on laptops. I mean, we are talking a few years ago when I was at university, but it was still all on laptops. We were on floppy disks and we did have a main drive, but it was a big shift in how you present, because it was all on a laptop or on a PC, and the way that you present your work is slightly different to it being in the written form, and the way that you can change things. And I wasn't used to being on electronic devices at all, so that was a big shift. And I was at university with students who were 10 years younger than me. And they were quite used to opening up their PC, opening up their laptop. They knew how to turn it on. I didn't even know how to turn one on to start off with, which was, you know, they would laugh at it and go, it's this button here. And I'm like, which button where? What does that mean?
Yeah.
And then finding your way around a keyboard. I mean, the keyboards haven't. QWERTY keyboard, okay, fine, but I didn't do secretarial skills. I didn't do typing skills, so I couldn't find my way around the keyboard either. I was a one-finger typer, and they'd all be like, and I'm like, where's the P? Where's the... And it would take me ages to get everything. And then I'd get it all on a document, and how do you save these documents? Where do you put them? What happens? You press this magic button, and they're somewhere. And all of that process was a huge learning curve. And I still use those sort of skills now in my coach, because everything that we do is online, and I will talk to some of my clients and they can't find their way around online. They can't find their way around a PC. They can't find their way around a mobile phone. So it's still, there's still a big gap between those that can work this wonderful technology and those who can't find their way around it. So I bring that and my experience when I first started into my coaching as well to help my clients.
So that was one of your pivotal moments, was that health challenge that made you have to change up stuff.
Yeah.
What else was going on in your life and your story at that time as well? You know, that were also, when you talked about key pivotal moments.
Yep. So I'm an older mum. I am now an older single mum. When I was teaching, I did have a husband at the time, and my daughter was born quite late. I was 39. She was meant to arrive when I was 40, but she was far too eager. So I was meant to be going back to school, end of the summer holidays, meant to go back to school, and ended up in labour with my daughter. She was 8 weeks prem, so quite prem. And that, again, becoming a mum and under those sort of circumstances, one, being an older mum, two, having a premature child, it was quite a traumatic time for a number of reasons. The birth itself was, we ended up having an emergency C-section, and she was quite ill, I was quite ill, and the fact that we'd had this precious bundle at the time, and again, it's, I hadn't gone to antenatal classes. I hadn't even packed my overnight bag because she was my first child. And obviously, she was 8 weeks prem. I had plenty of time. First babies don't arrive early, do they? So we had all of this. So it was like a huge shock. And then having to phone up work to my head of department and say, not coming back for a while. This has happened. So they had to, they did have a supply in who was in a little bit of shock because I was meant to be doing a bit of a lead to help them through the first half term. And obviously I wasn't there. And then I was in and out of hospital for a while because our daughter was in special care for 3 weeks before we could bring her home. Adapting to having a baby when you're in your late 30s, early 40s, is a bit of a shock anyway. Having to adapt with a baby that needs a little bit more care than others is, I mean, I didn't know any different. So to me, I was dealing with it no different to anybody else because she was my first child and I didn't know that it was going to be any different. I had around me a huge network to help, and I joined a older mum support group led by our midwife to start off with, and we are still all in touch now. Our children are now teenagers and they are leaving school. But we are all still in, well, the mums are still in touch. Teenagers being teenagers have got their own friendship groups. But mums, we still meet up and we still talk about when we all first met and when I took my daughter along, who was tiny. They actually met her before her due date. So they were like, oh, I'm supposed to be here. And she was like a little doll. She was tiny compared to some of the others. And things I can remember when we first met and they were holding their babies, and I went to pick up one of their children and I was like, oh my gosh, how heavy are they? And they were like, oh, she's 10 pounds now and she's like 12 weeks or something. And I'm like, oh, we're on six. And it was like, I can remember when she got to 7 pounds and thinking, oh, this child is really heavy. And that's like a
standard newbornish kind of time. Yeah.
Yes,
I was also, I'm an older mum too. So I had my first when I was 36 and my second when I was just before my 41st birthday. And so it's funny how you don't feel that old, but in the whole baby department, you are the geriatric mother. The only thing I took comfort from was with my son, who I had in my early 40s, was I tried to just say to people, well, you know, I get more scans than you, so it's cool. I used to just say it's fine. I get extra scans. I get to see my baby more than you. So there are some perks to being a geriatric mum. That's what I would say, just so that I didn't feel so old.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I was never called a geriatric mum in the department that I went into. A friend was, and she was younger than me when she had her children. And I found the hardest part I found when I had my daughter was the fact that I was on maternity recovering from my C-section, and there were lots of new mums with their babies sleeping next to me, and I didn't have mine because she was in special care. And nobody discusses with you what you can do, what you can't do, what the implications are. And there was that was a list. I found that bit harder than the fact that I was an older mum. I found the fact that my daughter wasn't even near me, and the way that some of the other mums addressed me or spoke to me, it wasn't the fact that I was an older mum, it was the fact that my child wasn't there. It was, you know, and that there wasn't, some of them were excellent, some of them were really sympathetic, but some of them weren't. And it was this, you couldn't keep your child in long enough. And I find that really weird. I was like, we're all mums. There's no rule book that it's going to happen this way. Nobody knows.
There's an awful lot to do with having a baby that is completely not in your control whatsoever.
Most of it, yes.
You know, you're just like, I'm just going to incubate for as long as I possibly can and hope that there is a positive outcome to it. So obviously you then had the experience of having, you know, a premature baby and those kind of challenges as well, and having to make decisions. How about everything else? What else was going on in your world that was kind of quite challenging, transformative, that you had to make changes for? You mentioned about being a single mum. Obviously something shifted there.
Yes. So my daughter got to eight. She was 8 years old and she had a virus, was quite ill. And due to the virus, her immune system got a bit confused and she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
Bless her.
Luckily, at the time, I was working at home, so it made things easier for us to adapt that way. But at the same time, her dad, we were still together at the time, he started to become ill, but he couldn't deal with his own condition. And he developed a condition called chronic regional pain syndrome, which is, it's a psychological condition, but it can migrate and parts of his body just stopped working. Yeah. And he didn't address it. He ended up going from being very physical person, his job was a physical job, to being unable to move around, and he was in a power chair. So, and that happened really quickly, and he didn't address how it was affecting him mentally, and he used to take it out on us. And it, within 2 years, the relationship had broken down. He'd become incredibly narcissistic in how he dealt with us. He stopped us from seeing friends. He used to say that somebody had said this about you and they don't like you. He segregated us from our support system. And he also did things like he would call the police on us to say that we were poisoning him. Quite malicious, the way that he behaved with us.
Exceptionally challenging.
Yes, incredibly. And being married to him at the time and being almost intelligent, I tried to support and help him as much as I can. And I was thinking, this is just a blip. We'll get through this. But it eventually became evident that we weren't going to get through it as a family unit. We were he would spend money that wasn't there. So we ended up in debt. We also ended up losing our house. So we became homeless. And it just got to the point where he started, he'd done the manipulation, the mental manipulation and the mental abuse, not just to myself, to my daughter as well. And then we had some physical abuse starting, and it got to the point where I was like, this is not safe for me, it's not safe for my daughter, and I had to get the police to come and intervene to remove him from the house because it was the only way to keep us safe. So that relationship totally broke down for all of us. And we're talking, he hasn't seen his daughter since pre-pandemic. He's spoken to her about four times. And he does text. But even with his communication now, it can be him trying to be controlling and him trying to get back in, I suppose, is the best way to say it. So that had a big effect on my confidence because obviously the relationship had broken down, quite traumatically broken down, and I'd also let my daughter down, which was the whole reason for getting out of the relationship. This was, you know, my daughter is everything. So I had to get her to a safe place. It affected her anxiety. Not only did she have to deal with being type 1 diabetic and all the implications that come with that, but then she had one of her support network was actually abusing her, and she had to process that. So the safest thing was for us to leave the relationship and for us to be as a small unit. It did mean, because of the way that he'd been beforehand, our support network had basically broken down because nobody knew. To all intents and purposes, we still looked like this caring, loving family, because when we were allowed out, that's what we appeared to be. But like they say, behind closed doors, you don't know what happens behind closed doors. And it wasn't until he'd gone and I literally had to do a post on social media to say.
That's the thing, isn't it? Yes. Behind closed doors.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so many people afterwards that have now come back, like friends that I'd lost touch with that have now come back, are like, well, we didn't know. We had no idea what was going on. We couldn't see. We didn't realise it was that bad. And that is part of the issue with these sort of relationships. And I think also the fact that by the time this happened, I was late 40s, almost 50, when this relationship broke down. And it's the societal expectation that at this time you're quite comfortable. Things are okay. You're, you know, you've got your house. You've got your
stuff together.
All your eggs are in your basket and everything's going fine. The little ducks are all lined up. And then this trauma happens and it's like, I feel like a teenager again because I'm actually starting over. However, I've got so much more baggage than before and so much more responsibility. It's a lot harder to start over, and I think you're a lot harder on yourself because you expected to be in a certain place.
You've kind of set a bar for yourself.
Yes
and then you've realized that actually gone.
So you beat yourself up even more about it because you were expecting to be quite happy now, and starting over is like a little bit of a shock.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you were faced with that, because obviously that's a fairly big barrage of stuff going on from all different sides, what were those first steps that you did? Like, how, as you've gone through that journey, how did you pick yourself up? How did you get yourself back on track? What were the stages that you took yourself through to get to where you are right now?
Yeah, so my priority to start off with was sorting my daughter out and getting my daughter so that she was in a place that she wasn't scared anymore, she wasn't worried to go out, that she felt that she could actually go to school without anything happening to her. So I had to put all of that in place. I had to make sure we had a home, which not our home anymore, which was a bit of a big shift as well. And I had to make sure that she realized she did have support, because obviously her world had collapsed. And yeah, at the time she was 9, 10 when all this was happening. So quite an impressive, she understood what was happening. She knew what was happening. She will still talk about it. Yeah. She will still talk about it now, but because of the groundwork that I put in with her, she is one independent young lady.
That's fantastic.
Very independent. So she is more, and that gave, seeing her blossom has helped me as well, because I've put all the work into her and it's helped support me because my confidence had gone. I still now have moments when I think, oh, I really, why am I doing this? Because going from being a confident person that could take on everything to having your whole world taken away from you, it does take time. And I don't think, when you hear about people that say, oh, I had this light bulb moment and all of a sudden, I don't think it happens like that. It's like an overnight success, isn't it? An overnight success can take 5, 10 years. It's gradual little steps that you build on, and it's not a linear progression either. It's a bit of a roller coaster, because sometimes you can be going up and you'll get a reminder and it can set you back again. And what I have learned is to stop and to take time to process, because we're in a very fast moving world now, and everything goes so quick. We're all on the internet all the time, and that goes in a nanosecond. And if you haven't got everything in place, you feel like you're a failure anyway. So I've learned that you need to put that to one side and aim for it, but do the little steps that you're comfortable with to start off with. I know we talk a lot about progression comes when you're out of your comfort zone, but if your comfort zone is already rocky, you've got to have a safe comfort zone for you to be able to progress to the next level before everything else breaks down. Because if you've got nothing to fall back on, you've got no step ladder to go up on. So I've learned that you need to take things a lot slower than a lot of people would expect you to, especially as you've got older, and then especially as now when the next hormonal phase starts, because that is another roller coaster.
Yeah, it's a joy. It's all just a joy, isn't it, that we have to look forward to. So if we fast forward to today, how is life for you and for your daughter? Now, you mentioned her independence. How is life now, having gone through that and having taken that time to take yourself through that roller coaster recovery kind of process? How are things now?
Yep, life is on the up now. We have a good foundation. We're not quite where we want to be, but who is?
Yeah.
So it's still striving for more. We have a comfortable house, not the house I want to be in, but it's a comfortable house.
Yeah.
We have everything that we need. My daughter is in GCSE year, so it's a bit traumatic at the moment, a little bit of a stressful household, but she already has plans for college. I have new plans of where I want to take my business, where I want to be online. And it's, we know now that we need to take time for ourselves. And as a unit, the two of us are a very strong, solid, supportive unit. We know how we can support each other. And we also know when to give each other space, because I think that's important when you've been through, excuse me, a traumatic time, is to make sure that you give yourself and those around you space as well. Mm. So, yes, life at the moment is good. We are on the up.
Right. That is really, really great. And if you had people listening now that can take parts of your story and really feel that that relates to where they might be right now, it may be all of it, it may be parts of it where they're like, I'm there right now, or I'm stuck in this place right now, and I want to be where Tracy is right now. What three tips would you give to somebody listening who could be feeling a bit stuck in their circumstances right now?
Yes. So the first thing I would say is that realize that it's not just you, because it can be quite isolating. You feel like, just because it's not happening in your immediate circle, it doesn't mean to say that it's not happening to somebody. So acknowledge that you're not the only one that this happens to. I would then say, take time for you. So your self-care is a huge priority. You can't move forward if you're not in the space to be able to. You need to look after your mental and your physical health, because otherwise you've got nowhere to progress to. And I'd say that would be a priority, because if your first step, which is you, is still rocky, you're not going to be able to move forward.
That's that saying, isn't it? You can't pour from an empty cup.
Yes, exactly. That's it. You need to make sure that you are strong enough to move forward. And also be prepared for some knockbacks. Like, it's not going to be linear. There could be the simplest little thing and you could become overwhelmed by it because you're not expecting it. But just be prepared to be going up for a few days and then have a slight knockback. And it can be the simplest little thing, like you've dropped a bottle of milk or something, but that can tip you over the edge. But make the little things as you go forward.
Yeah, they are really, really good. It is putting it as well, putting it into perspective.
Yes, yeah.
With everything. And, you know, your journey is a real, you know, a horribly typical example of a roller coaster ride of life. It doesn't matter how it affects people. It is reality that everybody's life is not a linear journey, isn't it? But it's taking those challenges that people that will be thrown at you, or taking those curveballs and finding also that inner strength to know that you will come out the other side, and you can come out the other side, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
There's a phrase that I've used when I've done some of my speaking stuff on stages. I have a phrase, it's actually Bob Marley, and it is, you never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have.
Exactly. Yes.
And I may not be the biggest fan of his music, but I really, really like that quote. And it, you know, there's certain times in my life I can look back and go, you know, you can be in a situation and think, I can't get through this, and actually you absolutely can.
Yes. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised where your support comes from as well.
Yeah, in some of the most least expected places. And I think, like you say, is even like if people are listening to this and they are facing challenges and they are struggling, is to reach out to people for support, whether that is within their own network, or if it is like when you talked about that online, or, you know, a community when it was older mums, you know, reaching, now we do have the online space. If you don't feel that you can get the support around you, look into the online space, because you said there will be other people going through that, and one of the, you know, there's the good and bads of the online space, but one of the good things is actually you can find an awful lot of support in the online space right now.
Yes, exactly. You can pick and choose as well when it's online, because you can turn it off.
Exactly. Thank you, Tracy, for sharing your story. And what I would love to do now, if it's okay, is we've learned an awful lot about you. We're going to let people know how they can connect with you away from here in a moment. But what I'd love to do is to ask if you will take part in our little fun quick fire round, so we can get to know you a little better. Now, Tracy hasn't got a clue what these questions are. Doesn't get them in advance, because that's what makes it fun, is when you don't get them in advance. Okay. Are you ready? I'm just going to turn my piece of paper over so it's here. So roll with whatever your first answer is. It's just a bit of fun. Okay, so we're going to start with an easy one. It's a rainy old day on a Sunday. You're going to sling out on the sofa and watch a movie. What movie are you going to be watching?
Oh, well, at the moment, I'm just about to watch Venom. I haven't watched it. Yes, the new one. And I have just finished the latest James Bond. So it's all a little bit all over the place.
Yeah, but you're a James Bond fan then, huh?
Sort of, yes. But I did just watch Dune as well, and my daughter didn't get the hang of that. I did have to explain to her that it was written in 1965, and it's probably one of the ones that started all of this genre off. And she's like, I still don't do it.
I don't get it. I actually didn't get that one. What things in life really get your goat? What makes you angry?
Oh, people that are always in a rush and overtake you just for the sake of overtaking you. That annoys me, with the car rage things.
You know what? I am feeling that, because we've been over in the Balkans and for 4 months now we've been over this side, and the people are so friendly. The car driving is insane, and they do that constantly on the most narrowest roads round blind bends, and they achieve absolutely nothing. I'm 100% feeling you on that.
We're sitting even in the mountains, it's the same. You're like, wiggly road,
And you also sit there and you're thinking, like, I'm going like a really okay speed, like, why are you feeling that I'm going slow enough that you need to overtake? So I'm totally with you on that one. Right, when you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up? Was there a thing?
Well, I don't know if it was really a thing. At one point, I wanted to be an Olympic eventer, horse riding eventer.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to be an Olympic eventer.
That was at one point, yes. I'm probably still aspiring to do that now as well, but I don't know enough.
Have you ever sung karaoke?
Yes.
And was there alcohol involved?
Yes. And obviously it was
you
Angels.
Remember what you've sung?
Everyone. Yes, Angels, because everybody sings Angels, don't they?
I'm not sure if Angels has made it. But I do remember doing one of the Take That songs when I was aboard once. The one that I can't remember what it's called. I'll Relight My Fire. Oh, yeah. with Lou. Because obviously I'd had that much to drink. I thought I'd rock out the Lulu part. Oh, so you've definitely done karaoke. That's fantastic. If you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, probably spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, is that a favourite?
Yeah.
Like, I've got a feeling that's easy. What we're having today. I've got a feeling that's tonight's meal, because my daughter, who is 10, is wanting to learn to cook, and she's asked me if she can make spag bol today. Is there something on your bucket list that you haven't yet achieved that you're like, I'm going to do that one?
Yes, I still want to go to the Grand Canyon. I haven't quite managed the Grand Canyon yet. Not sure I'll do the glass walkway, because I'm not very good on heights, but I still want to get there at some point.
be there and experience it. Fantastic. Yes. When you are not doing fabulous coaching work and being a mum, what kind of stuff do you do that is just your hobbies and interests? What do you do away from work?
Away from work. At the moment, at the moment I've just been helping a friend of mine redesign her kitchen. So I tend to end up helping people with those sort of projects at the minute, because a lot of my friends seem to be doing a lot of house alterations. So I'm like the colour coordinator, the designer type of thing.
Can you hear me there, lovely? I'm not sure if we've just broken up.
Yeah, you just froze for a little bit.
I just froze. I was just asking, in your life, have you ever had a nickname?
I've had a few, yes. My one that I still carry with me is Tracy Orange. I went from going through the sort of punk phase, because I am that old. Then I was like wearing all black and I'm like, I need to do something to brighten it up. So I wore orange. And when I first came down to Wales, I wore just orange and my hair was orange. So I got nicknamed Tracy Orange, and I still get called Tracy Orange in certain parts now so that people know who I am.
It's cool. To have a little nose round, where would you like to go back to?
I've lost you. Can you repeat that one? I lost you.
Yeah, that's all right. If you could go back in time to a place to have a look around, where would you like to go back to?
Oh, that's a difficult one, isn't it? Because there could be quite a few. I quite fancy going to Pompeii before Pompeii got squashed.
Yeah.
But I'd also quite like to go to Egypt, have a look around Egypt. Oh, it's got lots of them. I'd like to go lots of places. Yeah,
lots of places. Oh, brilliant. Roller coasters, do you love them or do you hate them?
Oh, no, that's a funny one. When I was younger, yes. Now I'm older, no.
No. So that's shifted. What was your very first job that you had?
Oh, that was
at school, kind of teenage. Your first job?
As a teenager, my dad used to play cricket and I used to make the teas for the cricket club in between. And then we used to fry up burgers after the match had finished. So that was my first job.
Now, it's the weekend. You're going away. Would you go to a mountain cabin, a city penthouse or a beach house?
Beach. As I live in the mountains, it would be a beach.
Would people say that you are a tidy person or a messy person?
Ooh, depends on what room you're in. Most of my rooms are tidy, but there are a couple of messy areas.
the ones that you can shut the door on.
Yes.
are you much of a reader? If so, what was the last book that you read?
I have read some books. I've just read self-improvement book, Dr. Julie. What's it called? What I Would Like to Know or What I Didn't Know. Something like that. That's the last book that I've read. So I haven't read a fiction book for I don't know how long.
Ages. And your last question, this is a good one. Where do you see yourself in 3 years, or where would you like to see yourself in 3 years?
Oh, in 3 years. So my daughter probably would be leaving the nest by then, so she says, but we'll see on that one. But I would like us to have our own house by then, because this house isn't ours. I would like us to have our own house and to have regular excursions. I quite like the idea of moving around the world as well. So if my daughters left, I would probably reinvent going out and about and seeing parts of the world that I haven't managed to see yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you know me, I'm all for exploring these new countries. So I really, really hope that happens for you. Tracy, thank you so much for if people do want to connect with you, either because of your story or through we've made it this far, we're doing all right. It's just this last bit now.
It's got a little bit of a glitch there,
yeah, that's all right. I was just saying, if people do want to connect with you away from here to do with anything to do with your story today or to do with menopause stuff or midlife work, anything like that, where's the best place for them to connect with you?
The best place would be on LinkedIn. And if they message me on LinkedIn, if it's via this, if they make sure that they put some reference to the Chrysalis conversation, so I've got something that I know that we're going to be talking about rather than somebody that's talking to me about something else.
That's no problem at all. And I'll also put that link in the show notes as well, so that you guys, if you want to know the direct link, you can get it, go straight to it from the show notes after listening to this. Tracy, thank you so much for your time today. I'm really, really grateful. I hope you've enjoyed hanging out with us this morning.
Yes, it's been great fun. Thank you, Nikki. Yes.
You're welcome. And to you guys at home, wherever you are in the world, thank you so much for taking the time to come and hang out with Tracy and me today. I hope you've enjoyed today's Chrysalis conversation. Loads of useful tips, loads of things for you to think about. If you want to connect with Tracy, crack on and do that. Otherwise, I'm going to catch up with you on the next episode. Wishing you a wonderful day. Take care now. Bye-bye.